Hi, and welcome to Android Developers Backstage. I'm Romain Guy from the Android Toolkit team.
I'm Tor Norby from Android Studio.
I'm Chad Haas from the Developer Relations team. And today we have...
Maddie Meller from Android System UI.
And Artur from System UI.
Hey, welcome.
Excellent.
System UI.
So this... System UI, and this is an overdue podcast. I think, Maddie, I talked to you about doing this maybe a year ago. When Bubbles almost made Android 10.
Yes, that probably would have been when you asked me about it.
Chet, so it's a. Didn't we talk about Bubbles at Google I/O in What's New in Android a year ago?
The best features are covered in multiple releases,
right? Because we lagged them all
and
so much
several times. Yeah. Yes. So this was an unusual feature in that most of the time we either do a feature or we don't, or if we get there, like IME animations was mostly done in 10, but then at the last minute, they decided it wasn't quite far enough, and then they just pulled it completely. But Bubbles was unusual because it was almost there, not quite ready, and therefore we released it, but it was behind a developer options flag.
Yes, that is the strategy we went with.
Yes, which I guess gave people a chance to play with it so that we could tune things so that it was ready to go for Android 11.
So I have to ask, why was it behind the flag? What's so scary about this feature that you didn't want to make it available right away?
I think the implementation wasn't all the way there. We definitely had a lot of bugs that we wanted to fix. And I think we also weren't certain exactly how it should be used in the operating system. And I think the time that we got between Q and R allowed us to stabilize, have apps play with it while it was in developer options, have us do internal testing with it. And hopefully this will all contribute to a smooth and polished launch in Android 11.
Yeah, that's good to hear because that's something we've experimented with, you know, on Jetpack and Tor, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically Studio, right? Like we leave our libraries in early access for longer, and we've seen the quality greatly increase thanks to that, especially APIs, right? Getting this early feedback is extremely useful.
And it's a little harder to do for platform APIs, which is why this is unusual in the way that we did this, right? So normally, if you're in the unbundles APIs, we have a little more opportunity to kind of iterate through alpha and beta and even between releases. Because you can make API tweaks if you really need to. But with the platform, no. We really want it to be solid by the time it's exposed at all in general. But so I was thinking maybe we should take a step back and say, what's Bubbles?
So Bubbles is a platform API that lets an application publish some sort of content. It's basically a floating circle. It's represented as a floating circle on top of anything that you're doing in the operating system. And it lets you get back to some sort of task. And so in Android 11, it's going to be focused around conversations. And these floating circles are going to represent contacts that you're currently talking to, usually the most important people that you're chatting with. And even though you're doing something else on the phone, you can tap on it and quickly respond back to your friend.
So I have to ask, the name Bubbles makes a lot of sense when you see those circles, but please tell me that you use the microphone so that if I blow on the device, the bubbles go away.
That is a really interesting idea for us to consider.
That's a big no.
That sounded like a polite refusal.
Yes. Okay. No feature for me then.
So I've been looking at this recently as we're coming up to actually doing more previews and getting this release nailed down. And it looked like there was a mix of enabling it through some metadata, right? Sort of entering information about enabling it in notifications that you're posting. But then also there's an activity specific to the bubbles. I guess that surprised me. I assumed that tapping on a bubble would just take you back to the activity you came from. Can you help me understand like the overall API surface area? Like what parts are required? What parts are optional?
Yeah, so we went with the notification API just because the way we were seeing developers use Bubbles with System Alert Window kind of naturally fell into notifications. So like we were seeing this with Facebook and Chat Heads, like you can see that they're very similar, and Facebook really pioneered how that relationship works. So like you get a notification, you get this content that you can immediately act on. So the parts of the API that are required is you send a notification and you tie some activity content to it. And that activity content is what's displayed within the bubble. So we don't take you to a normal sized activity on the screen. We take you to this kind of windowed activity, which is that piece that you're attaching to bubble metadata for the notification.
So it's interesting.
Okay, so
it sounds almost like a picture-in-picture, but for more applications, because picture-in-picture makes sense, you know, for Google Maps or for videos. But obviously, if you don't have dynamic content, that doesn't quite make sense. So it feels like it's something in between, like the full-blown activity and picture-in-picture, and it's going to be useful to more apps. Chet, you seem puzzled.
Yeah.
I just am puzzled. Go ahead, Maddie.
The whole point of it is to kind of like allow you to dip in and out. So I'd say that the difference between pip and bubbles is that pip is for like I'm constantly observing and consuming a video or like observing a sports score or something like that. Whereas bubbles is more interactive. It's more about jumping into that content, responding to a message, getting back to the thing that you're doing on the main display of your phone. So I'm reading an article and then responding to my friend. Kind of thing.
So my confusion is actually still my confusion from before, which is my original mental model was that bubbles was basically, you know, a shortcut or a notification. Basically, here's something in the UI where when I tap it, I'm going to go back to where I came from. But what I'm hearing is, no, when I tap it, I actually go into a different universe where you just have like a smaller activity that is specifically about that bubble content. Is that right? Is that always the way that it acts? Like you don't get back to the original app, but you just get back to like that micro conversation that you surface the bubble around?
So you might have an affordance within the bubble to take you to the full screen application. But often the goal of separating out the two activities is for you to optimize the bubble activity for the windowed mode that you're displaying it in. A really concrete example is the bubble is focused on one task, like conversing with your friend. And so one thing that we discourage app developers from doing is trying to bake in the full functionality of their application within that conversation. You don't want, for example, a user to be talking to someone in a bubble and then navigate to, let's say, an inbox and then kind of starting new conversations, because that adds a lot of complexity and may be confusing to users. So we recommend developers focus their bubbles on a single task and make whatever UI optimizations for their bubble that may not exist in the full screen activity to make that experience really coherent and understandable.
Okay, then presumably there's also some use case where, yeah, that's great to continue that current conversation, but then the user would want to return to the larger thing, you know, the group that conversation came from or whatever. So what's the typical pattern for enabling that within the smaller bubble activity?
A developer could have some sort of affordance to just open the current conversation or open the current activity into the full screen app.
So you're saying affordance, and what I'm hearing is designer speak. So more in developer terms, like what is that affordance? What's the thing inside it that allows them to return? Are you embedding like intent information inside of the bubble intent that you populated the notification with? Maddie, I think you wanted to say something.
Yeah. So, okay. The bubble metadata, it takes a shortcut or a pending intent, and we take that and we just start that activity in a internal component activity view. So you're actually seeing full activity content within that bubbled window. So the developer can kind of do whatever they want in that space. So if they want to allow you to go to the main application, they can have a button that takes you to the main app. You tap on that, they just start their app as they normally would. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think maybe I was asking a broader sort of Android pattern question of, if you want to launch, you know, the whole activity that you came from, like what is a typical way that you would expect people to do that? I know there's actions and shortcuts, and maybe they just populate an intent and do the. I just didn't know if you were recommending a particular approach or it's sort of left as an exercise to the reader.
Is there a connection between Bubbles and Slices?
No, there is no connection between Bubbles and Slices. I think previously when we had talked about Slices, I think we had brought Bubbles as something that might be able to utilize them, because Slices kind of provided a templated view. And rather than having an app do like full custom activity content, we thought, oh, maybe we'll use this template inside the Bubble instead. But I think ultimately, like, giving apps greater flexibility in this space kind of allows them to do more interesting things. And there are a lot of things that apps want to do with chat, so it's hard to template that.
So I know one of the original ideas behind Bubbles was to get away from the world where status alert window is like this really big hammer that everybody used for doing something like this. Like, if you want UI overriding everybody else's UI, well, up pops this transparent window in which you can put things, right? So where is that? I guess the recommendation now is, you know, a stronger and stronger recommendation. Please stop using this. Use Bubbles instead. Is there something more specific we're doing? Is this being deprecated? Is that the eventual plan? Or are we sort of waiting to see how Bubbles is taken up by the developer community?
Yeah, so I think a couple of things there. One thing to clarify is that Bubbles is not meant to be the one replacement for every usage of System Alert Window. So when we looked at System Alert Window and some of the abuse vectors that introduced and how we're going to replace it, we realized that there's many categories of use cases of System Alert Window, and that we would have to provide several different types of APIs to help developers migrate off of them. So a really common example is like Picture-in-Picture is also a platform alternative for some uses of SAW. Previously, developers built Picture-in-Picture-like solutions using SAW, and then we introduced the platform API to help substitute that. And Bubbles is another one for a certain type of category of use case. We think that plus a few other APIs solves the majority of the top use cases, but we're still working through it. With SAW, one is, yeah, we're definitely discouraging developers from continuing to use that API. In 11, we're going to stop auto-granting the permission. So users can still access the permission, but they'll have to manually do so through settings. The guidance here is like, this is mainly meant for advanced users or developers that really need this technology for some sort of in-app API, but it's not meant to be for wide use or mainstream use. And then in future versions, we're probably going to look at clamping down on the API even more, but don't have any concrete plans to share yet.
Obviously, you know, one of the issues with notifications, and when you're bombarded with notifications in the past, it was pretty annoying on Android. Do we have limitations with Bubbles? Like, can I end up with 200 bubbles on my screen at the same time, you know, covering all my content? I assume not, but.
Yeah, this is a really good question. In fact, even in the System Alert Window world, System Alert Window could just appear on your screen. And so users often got these bubbles without doing anything. With the System Bubble solution, we're actually putting users very much in control of the experience. In two ways. One is, before an app can actually publish a bubble on your screen, it has to ask for permission. And so an app might explain to you what they're going to be using bubbles for, and then it'll deep link you into a settings screen where you can then decide, I want every single bubble, any single conversation to bubble, or I only want a few people to bubble. Because what we found in our research is users fall into a couple of buckets. Sometimes they want someone to bubble just for a short period of time. Sometimes they only want their most important contacts to bubble, like their spouse or their friends.
So that's awesome. That means I can make sure that chat never gets a bubble on my screen. I like that.
And then there are users that really enjoy chatting using bubbles. It's just much more efficient than having to go back and forth from the full screen app. And so they'll set all of their conversations to bubble. But we provide all three of those controls. The last thing that I'd mention is, on notifications, which can turn into a bubble, we'll have an affordance or a button on the bottom right that allows a user to individually bubble that conversation, and then they can just unbubble it. It's really similar to what you see on videos if you want to just quickly jump it into a pip and then pop it back into the full screen app.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, it's good to know that users have a lot of control I really like that. So, and I assume we do we have guidelines, or do we provide guidelines on, you know, what kind of apps should be using Bubbles and what kind of use cases they should have for Bubbles? Because, you know, I can imagine tons of ways I could be using Bubbles, which may not be the way that you two had in mind working on the feature.
So in 11, Bubbles are heavily tied to the new people and conversations features. And so the primary customer of Bubbles is mainly meant to be chat apps. We are thinking long-term about ways to introduce additional use cases. But, you know, for now, the main thing is, you know, real-time conversations using a chat application.
All right. So, yeah, mostly for social media and messaging.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In our specifically, we are tied to the conversation space and notifications. So there's some new additions to conversations and notifications in Android 11, requiring you to add a shortcut to represent a person on the notification. And you need to do that to have Bubbles for your app. Maybe a small API detail.
No, I mean, those small API details matter, right? It's always good to know like what you have to do to integrate that into your application, especially because, and I don't know exactly what shape it takes, but you know, sometimes on Android, you need to connect APIs that are in very different places. I think our graphics and media are the biggest culprit there, where, you know, the Java docs are not the best place to understand that.
Yes.
Actually, speaking of complicated UI, Archer, when you were explaining like the different ways that the users can opt into, you know, well, I only want a few or only for important contacts or, you know, it's really important here, it's not important. Like that whole, I couldn't quite figure how you solve that in a nice generic way in system UI without complicating everything. Like what's the heuristic that you're using, or are you leaving this up to developers saying your app needs to figure out when they want this or not?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And it definitely sounds like a lot as I'm describing all the different flows, but it really comes down to like two simple choices. So we think, one, it's really up to developers to decide whether they have the right relationship with their user where all of their conversations should bubble. So for example, we're working with the Android Messages app to craft the story of like, if they want to auto bubble most of their conversations, they should explain to users that only contacts in their address book, for example, would bubble, because you don't want like robocalls or verification numbers to produce bubbles. That would be very spammy. But if a developer hasn't set up that value proposition and isn't able to explain it to user, then it's just a matter of using the UI in the system on the notifications for users to just choose which conversations they want to bubble. So it's essentially one of those two paths.
So has all of this stuff then propagated into, like, is this the standard place where users would find this information, is in the notification settings? Like, are there other options in there for figuring out what you want to do with Bubbles?
Yeah. If you go to an app's notification settings, you'll see just below the affordance to turn the notification on or off to manage your bubbles and to see who gets to bubble and who doesn't.
So can apps start using Bubbles and they would show up as Bubbles, or is this like one of those dangerous permissions where the app will have to ask for permission first, and only if you say yeah I'm okay with Bubbles, now the app gets to use them?
The latter. Yeah, they'll have to ask for permission first.
Okay,
so the first time it pops up, when you're, help me understand the flow here. So your app wants to produce a bubble for the user. They populate a notification with the information that it needs, and they push it. And then at that point, does a dialogue pop in front of the user and say, you're going to need to opt into this thing?
Well, that's not how the camera works. The camera, we typically encourage developers to like decide in context when to ask for permission.
So a couple of points. It's not an explicit Android permission, it's a settings thing. So we have a public intent to the settings screen that the app can send you to, and from there the user can toggle Bubbles, the Bubbles preference for their app. So the expected flow chat, to answer your question, would be the app adds bubble metadata to their notification. They send that notification. It will appear to the user as it normally would. What the user can do at that point is they can tap a small affordance on the notification to make that a bubble, and that will say, oh, that notification content always gets to bubble now, but no other notifications from that app would be able to bubble without further user intervention. Then the other approach is you go into the app and the app is like, hey, we think bubbles are great for our app. We have all these people we know you're really good friends with. We want them to bubble. They'll give you some sort of value prompt, have a button, you'll tap on that, it'll take you to settings, and then you as a user can make your choice then. Hey, I want all of the bubbles from this app, or I don't.
How come that wasn't done as a permission? Like, because it seems like with permissions, we have this whole thing where there's a place you can go to look at them. You know, you can say only while using the app. That kind of like, why is this a setting and not a permission?
We had, it's tough because this is more of a feature, not really a security data related type thing. I think there is a bit of an argument there to be made that it could be a permission, and that is something we looked into. It was sort of recommended that since it's more gating a feature and less of a privacy thing, it made more sense as a setting.
I was also curious why. So there was a really nice feature that was added, I think it was Android 10, the in-application settings panel, that where instead of always having to send users off to settings directly to change something and then potentially them not returning to the app, there were certain things like Wi-Fi connectivity was one of them, where you could actually just pop up a mini panel with access to just a very small number of settings, and then they basically stay in your app with an overlay, right? So was that also considered, or is that like, it's got to be a really, you know, high bar to get into the mini world?
That wasn't considered, but that might be a great feature request.
That is why we do this podcast. okay. Yeah. So Rama, you had a question before?
Oh, no, there was a very stupid question. I was going to ask if I can ask for the permission using a bubble to be able to use bubbles.
Stack Overflow. I had a question to return back to something we started with, which is, okay, so you had a lot of the functionality there in Android 10 behind the developer option setting. And now we have the full feature in Android 11. What's the delta? So what did you learn via either bug reports or applications, internal or external, implementing the feature? Like, what is new and wonderful about the feature? Or what did you learn along the way that allowed you to say, yep, it's ready?
Or were you right all along? We should have shipped it in Android 10.
Wow, that's a big question.
I'm just trying to figure out why we didn't do this podcast a year ago. Come on, make me feel better about delaying the podcast for a year.
Well, I think the experience is much better this year. And I think the biggest thing that changed is last year it was an opt-out. So you would immediately get bubbles if an app sent them. And this year it's an opt-in. So the user has a lot more control and granularity options around bubbles. And I think that's a really huge benefit. And I think that it totally made sense. I don't know if we knew when we punted that that was going to be the delta, but I think that that delta really shows that punting was good.
Yeah, I would add, like, that was a huge consideration. Also, just starting with the people in conversations framing, as that was the one of the top use cases of this UI form, helped us focus the feature and helped us focus on the capabilities and polish areas. We definitely have ideas of how we might extend this, but just starting and getting that to a good state was really important. And you know, we added new features and focused a lot on different polish areas. Like, for example, the feel of the bubble is really important. It's like this fun thing that kind of appears on your screen and people like to play with the bubble. And so getting the physics right, getting the feel of the dismiss so that it's easy to get rid of, making sure that all landed well. And then we did add new features between 10 and 11. Like, one of the features that we're going to introduce with bubbles is called the overflow menu. So originally, you could only have five conversations at a time. And if you had a conversation beyond that, you would essentially lose the fifth oldest one. But now if you have more than five conversations happening at once, we're going to have a piece of UI that allows you to access them. And those conversations will stick around so that if you want to get back to that conversation later, even after you've dismissed those bubbles, you can really easily. And that's based on the learning that we got from users that they want to be able to really reliably use this to get back to their conversations, regardless of who messaged them last.
I wondered on a design point. I'm not a designer, but you know, clearly I have a lot of really good ideas in this area. I was thinking, you know, if we're going to call them bubbles, shouldn't they physically react like bubbles so that when you touch them, they just pop and go away? I know that it takes a lot of the functionality away, but I feel like it's more consistent with the naming.
Okay.
We've definitely had some bugs that look like that. Sorry, I missed the question though.
No, that was the question. I just want to put it in as a feature request that maybe, you know, they should just auto pop out. But you know, you've obviously considered that. Maybe you could reintroduce those bugs to just make it a more consistent experience.
Well, I'm assuming
more physically. I think Romain would appreciate this with all your physical rendering stuff that we could be more physically accurate.
I just want to blow the bubbles.
Well, I'm assuming this is an area where we can sort of keep Android looking fresh over the releases. We can keep changing the presentation of these things. We've got sort of the guts in there where the apps can communicate intent, but now you could maybe alter the shape and, you know, animation in and out and all that stuff in every release, right? To basically make it feel like it's new every time.
Yes, that's definitely something we could do. And we actually, we do change the shape of the bubbles to match the device theme already, like the little dragging circular bits of them. But yeah, we could, it's another area of system UI that's open for future customizations or design changes.
Yeah, I'd like a little glass effect over it, you know, with a gloss on top. So it seems like there's actually a bubble over it too. So that was my feature request.
I'll talk to our expert animator. He's been very good at all the physics stuff.
If not, I'm sure Romain's like itching to tell you, hey, let's use filament in system UI and let's do physically based rendering.
I know
he's
exactly
got the right material for bubbles.
Yeah, I know exactly what paper to implement. It's called thin film interference. Nice. And it's super expensive to render. So
yeah. System UI has got lots of resources. From the developer's perspective, how easy is it to get started with this? And is there some sort of big mistake that people should be aware of? Any kind of gotchas that they should look out for?
I think that it's somewhat straightforward to implement. It's very caveated on like what your app architecture looks like. But I think if you have an activity already that you would want to present into a bubble, you can basically take that and with some minor changes, have that be suitable to present in the bubble.
And I assume that if I'm targeting Android 11, that'll work, but there's no Android X backport here, I'm assuming, since it's a system UI. So do you have practices around what I would do to basically make sure that my app works in a backwards compatible way as well?
Yeah, so there is no back compat story for bubbles, unfortunately. We will have a notification compat APIs that you can use, and then if you are adding bubble metadata, basically you won't have to worry about anything. It'll just be ignored on older versions. So as long as you're using the back compat APIs when they exist, that'll work.
Yeah, and I guess the nice thing is that people should make sure their app works for people who decline bubbles as well, right? So there's always, hopefully every app will have a reasonable fallback path. It's not going to be like bubbles or bust.
Actually, I kind of like the decision to use the notification system because then the information is there. It's just propagated in a different way. Right. So if you're basically letting the user know that there's a thing you can return to and either it shows up as a notification or a bubble or both. Like if they've opted into bubbles, does it still keep the notification?
Yes. Yeah, so what we do is we won't hun the notification. So we won't have it pop up from the top of the screen if it's going to be a bubble, but we will show it in the notification shade. And we do this because you might want to be able to read the contents of the notification without actually entering the app. And then also if you're on the lock screen or if the phone is locked, you want to still be notified.
And then if you swipe the notification out, is that a trigger to make the bubble go away as well? Or do they live in different worlds once they've bubbled?
Swiping the notification away does not impact the bubble. What it will do is we show on the launcher, when an app has a notification, you'll see those little dots on the launcher icon. We do the same thing in bubbles. So if you have a bubble that has an active notification in the shade with it, we show that dot. When you open the bubble, we hide the notification and then that dot goes away. So it sort of acts as a like red, unread kind of thing.
Yeah.
Any other sort of developer considerations? Or is basically like learn to use notification builder and that's basically it.
You need to think about how your activity works, because when you start new tasks in the bubble, we will collapse it. So you can have a backstack in the bubble. So if you have everything in the same task stack, that will all stay in the bubble and the back button will work. Once you hit the end of that task stack, we'll collapse the bubble when the user does on back. And then kind of if you start a new activity from your bubble, we'll typically collapse you. So if it's a new task. So those are things that maybe when you're implementing bubbles, you'll have to go through your activity to look at when you're starting new tasks and look at if you're doing anything weird with on back press.
Yeah, doing weird stuff with on back press is usually not a great idea to begin with, I think.
Yes.
So I think if I remember the API surface area, this thing, it's so the manifest is going to contain information about the bubble activity, which, as you said, may be based on a smaller activity that you had in your app already. But basically, here's the stuff that I want to show when somebody clicks on this thing. And that's like resizable activity. I think there were like three attributes that you had to nail in order for that to work correctly. And then the notification itself, and then the code in the activity itself. And that seems like the limit of it. So not that much to get into this world and play with it.
Yeah, I guess I forgot one small item too. For Android 11, to bubble, you need to be part of the conversation space. And to be part of the conversation space, you need to use notification messaging style and have a shortcut for the notification. So notification messaging style is pretty easy. Having a shortcut, depending on whether your app does them or not, might require greater investment.
Right.
And if I want to play with this now, I have, you know, the Android 11 preview on my phone, and I see that bubbles are turned on. But like, which are any of the built-in apps, or are there any apps available that I can play with?
Tor, I think you need friends.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so mean. See, that's why I don't want to in my bubbles.
Like, should I go into contacts then? Like, is it the messages app? Like, what can I do if I want to play with this? And I can pretend that I have friends.
So we're working with the application. So the Android messages app will work during one of the betas. We're working to get them ramped up. They're just taking some time to polish the experience. And
I see. So the bubbles functionality is in the Android 11 preview, but we don't have apps using it yet.
Right.
Okay. All right. I'll just have to be patient, which is not normally my strength.
All right. So what did we forget to ask? What's the most exciting thing about bubbles where you're like, oh, I can't believe they're not asking about this?
I guess, well, can I say why I like bubbles? I'm going to say why I like bubbles.
Yes, please do.
We should have started with that question. What are bubbles and why do you like them?
I hate them.
So, okay. I think everyone it's a common problem that you talk to a bunch of different people across a bunch of different apps. And if you're talking to people at the same time, you're switching between these different apps, and that can be a little bit clunky. What I like about Bubbles is you can kind of collect your chats across different apps all in one place and then switch between them. And it just feels kind of nice. You're like, oh, I have my two good friends, and maybe one's on this app and one's on this other app. But they're both right here, and I can access them really quickly. And I think that for me, that has been kind of cool.
I see. So it's not necessarily about the cool system UI affordance, but the fact that you're sort of taking a people-oriented approach. It's not about the app, but the basically it being sort of contact first. Interesting inversion.
That helps me understand the, like, way back to my earlier question, like why we're popping them into a separate UI as opposed to sending them into the app, because it allows you the ability to sort of stay in this non-app space where you don't have to keep, you know, going down depth first search into the apps to continue conversations. Instead, it's a UI that's sort of riding on top of everything else to just say something quick and then go back to the thing you were doing. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I think the other thing is that because we're still using the custom activity from the application, we're not quite disintermediating. Like the application is still playing a really important role in helping you reach that person. We're just helping users organize the most important conversations that they have in a easier to access way if those contacts are across several apps. I think the depth first search example is like a really good one, because I think what we're doing is just making it really easy top level to access those conversations. I think, like, if I could chime in, like, one of the things that we're thinking about for next year, I guess it's like two different themes. One is how do we make the accessing these chats and using these chats even more useful? And thinking about other kind of communication style use cases like calls, et cetera. On a completely different vein is what other types of things that the user interacts with on the phone fall into this similar pattern that we discovered with messaging. So Maddie mentioned this theme of dipping in and out of the app. And the idea is, if you think about for a lot of smartphone users, communications is one of the most important parts. So they're constantly kind of switching in and out of their messaging apps while they're doing other things on the phone. So being able to tap the bubble is just a much more convenient or faster way to access that. And I think something we're thinking through a lot next year is, besides chatting, what other kind of use cases fall into this? And what other kind of categories of applications could we extend this capability without overwhelming users? That's kind of the really difficult balance that we're trying to look at as we expand Bubbles.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting once the apps enable it to see what they're doing with the feature. Right. So we've seen, you know, the one canonical example of this kind of UI is ChatHeads for at least the last couple of years. But as we get, you know, more and more varied developers thinking about this stuff, how can they use it?
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to requested use cases after Android 11.
Be careful what you wish for. Developers can be very creative. Very, very creative.
Well, let's see what happens. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chet.